Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, and it's another first day of the week. Glad to have the opportunity to spend with you. There's a lot going on in the country right now, you know, and I just wanted to know if you can hear me, anybody, Brother William, Brother Uriah, somebody please feel free to push 1 so that you, I know you, okay, thank you so much, Brother Uriah. I think that before we get started, Brother William, thank you so much. I would like to just take a moment and send our heartfelt condolences out to all of the families of Buffalo, New York, the people that were killed at the grocery store by the young man. He was 18 years old. They are labeling him a white supremacist. He basically walked into the grocery store in full military gear. Well, he started killing people in the parking lot. And he I think they said he shot down about four people in the parking lot, and then he went into the grocery store. He killed a total of 10 people, and then he wounded 13. I mean, a total, he wounded three and killed a total of 10. So it was 13 people affected. And, you know, our condolences go out to the families of everybody. You know, it's such a senseless crime. You know, you just wonder sometimes how people can live their lives hating. You know, you just hate people because of the color of their skin. You know, and I looked at him, he's a young man. He's 18 years old. 18 years old. You know, and it's just so unfortunate, you know, that at 18 years old, he drove 3.5 hours to get to this location, streamed it live on a site called, I think it's called Twitch. It's sponsored by Amazon, and he streamed it live for whomever his audience was, and they were watching as he was shooting these people down senselessly. And it is such a shame. It is such a terrible situation to watch. It's terrible. So I just wanted to take a moment to let the families know and the community know, you know, how devastating, you know, that has to be, and that we are definitely praying for everyone. They consider him to be a terrorist. They consider it to be a hate crime. They said there was a manifesto. And, you know, at 18 years old, how do you have time to hate at 18? You know, I just don't understand that. I mean, you know, I mean, I know it's real, and some people train their children to hate. They do. They really do. I don't know what his parents are like. I don't know anything about any of that. It was more devastating to see this young man had that much hatred that he ruined so many people's lives. I just think it's just a terrible situation to be in, you know. I just don't know. It's just a terrible thing to be, it's just a terrible thing to experience. You know, the many people's lives who was distracted by this was just, it just was too much. You know, so to all the families out there, you know, the Nation of Yehuda extends our heartfelt condolences. And, you know, we're definitely praying, and we are holding everyone up in prayer, because it's going to be a really serious mourning period that he has to go, that they have to go through. I wanted to kind of play a clip of an eyewitness account of, you know, one of the guys who was actually outside the, now this is an all-black neighborhood. Predominantly all-black neighborhood. They said for years there was no grocery store in the neighborhood. Most of the residents in the neighborhood are elderly people. And they put the grocery store in a location where it was easy accessible. They were able to walk to the store, walk across the street to the grocery store if they wanted to. You know, a couple of the women were actually loading their groceries in their cars. You know, so I just wanted to let you hear this part of it, because it's such a sad situation. But here we go.
Scene of the crime.
News 4's Tara Lynch has been at the scene all afternoon and all evening. She can bring us an update now. Tara?
But I've been telling you one story since we first came on the air, and it was about this man here, Brady Lewis. You were in that top earlier this afternoon. We're going to get to that story. But you told me just a few moments ago that you actually spoke with the suspect yesterday. He was here. Tell me more about that.
I seen him, and he looked strange in the neighborhood. Anybody had a genius shirt on, so I wanted to see if he was a genius. And we sat and talked about string theory, critical race theory, beginning of civilization, and he seemed like he was a genius, actually. He said he came up just to see the countryside, and he was going to go out camping. He bought a big thing, a jug of water. He had a little nervous twitch to him. I bought him something to drink, and we sat and talked for about an hour and 45 minutes after seeing the pictures and seeing the blue car that I seen got into yesterday. So it's a shock right now, and he told me his name was Peyton. So it's a shock.
And we did see a blue car get taken away from the scene just about a half hour or so ago. And you were saying that you were speaking with him on a bench that's located outside of this top.
Yes.
That's the bench that earlier today, when I first got here, you were the first person I spoke to. You were telling me that bench is your office.
Yes.
And you usually like to stop and sit there and talk
yes.
to people that are passing by. Today you didn't stop.
Yes.
So walk me through your afternoon here at the top.
Well, I went in there and got me some a juice. And I didn't want to sit there today, so I walked across the street and I opened up my juice. And as I opened up my juice, I heard what I knew wasn't a firecracker. And I looked up and I seen a guy shooting people. Then I seen a security guard run inside, and then I seen him going after him shooting. And I saw him come back out, and he had all camouflage on. And glasses and helmet, and then he put the gun to his head, and he dropped it. He took off his gloves. He took off his gun. He put it down. He took off his vest, and then he got on his knees and laid down and put his hands behind his back, and they arrested him at that point.
And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, you were telling me about the security guard, the former Buffalo police officer, who has tragically died in this incident. You were telling me today, he told you, no lingering around the store, we gotta keep it clear.
Yes.
You credited that man with saving your life.
Yes, I heard him say to someone, there's no lingering around the store. So, me knowing that he was a Buffalo police officer, I never really wanted to give him an opportunity to say anything to me. So, when I do go, I shop, and I leave. And that's the reason why I left. Because I heard him tell people that a couple times. So, you know, they got to tell me something four or five times for me to understand. And from what I heard, he went back and he shot at him when he went in the store. So, yeah, but if he wasn't there, I would have been sitting there. So I'm definitely thankful that I heard him say that. Yes, I'm definitely thankful to Mr. Salters. Yes, definitely.
Well, Mr. Lewis, thank you so much for joining me here tonight and for telling me your story earlier today. I appreciate it. This entire community here is mourning this tragic loss. There's a memorial set up down Landon Street here. A truly challenging, difficult, sad, heartbreaking day here in the city of Buffalo. For now, live on Jefferson and Landon, Tara Lynch, News 4.
All right, now I want you to hear one more.
Landon.
And then it's the information about who he is and everything that was going on. Because, I mean, you know, it's just heartbreaking. It is just truly, truly heartbreaking, you know, that this had to come to this level. It's just terrible. Here we go.
About that 18-year-old suspect, ABC's Aaron Katursky continues our coverage. Aaron, good morning to you.
Eva, good morning. We know that Peyton Gendron was not from Buffalo, but he arrived heavily armed, intent on killing black people.
Yes, sir. And family charges.
New York State Police and the FBI spent the night searching Gendron's family home in Conklin, 3.5-hour drive from the Buffalo supermarket where police said Gendron carried out a racially motivated hate crime.
We are investigating this incident as both a hate crime and a case of racially motivated violent extremism.
Of the 13 people shot, 11 are black, and law enforcement sources told ABC News Gendron appears to have possessed extremist beliefs cultivated online.
There are certain pieces of evidence that we have ascertained in the course of this investigation that indicate some racial animosity.
Investigators say they're pouring through a 180-page document believed to be authored by the suspect that details a fixation with white supremacy, the weapons he could use to kill black people, and his intent to livestream the attack. There's also a lengthy rant about replacement theory, a racist idea that white people are being replaced by people of color.
We will not stop until every lead is investigated, every piece of evidence is analyzed, and until we understand how and why this horrible tragedy and crime occurred.
Now, According to authorities, it was last June when a high school near his home reported to police that Gendron had threatened a shooting at graduation. No charges were ever filed. In this case, at least for now, Gendron is charged with a single count of murder, but it's likely he's going to face federal hate crimes and terrorism charges. Jeanette.
Aaron, thank you so much for that update.
All right, anybody have a comment? Anybody have anything they want to say? It's all out of salt. It's a terrible situation. It is truly a terrible situation. You know, against black people. Against us. You know? It's just terrible. You know, and he had threatened to do a school shooting. And it's like, well, why wasn't anything done about it then at that level? You know? But, you know, people have lost their lives. And then they said that some people were actually cheering him on. And he's like, wow, really? You know, I don't know. I don't understand it. You know, we just got to continue, you know, to pray and continue to ask Yah to deliver, because this don't look like this ain't doing too good. I mean, you know, anybody want to push one? You got a comment or something like that? Like I said, you know, to the family, the community in Buffalo, New York, we extend our heartfelt condolences. I am so sorry for your loss. It is such a sad day when a person has that kind of hatred in their heart and they set out to destroy other people because of the hatred. It's a sad day that an 18-year-old kid had that much hatred in his heart that he's destroyed his whole life. He won't get a life. He's just not. His life is pretty much over with. You know, and it's just sad that hatred can just fester into making somebody want to do something like that. You know, it's just terrible. I think it's terrible. You know, and you know, I don't know how his parents feel. I can't imagine, you know, what they're feeling right now. I mean, you know, it destroys everybody. You know, it destroyed those people's lives. Those people went to the grocery store to get milk and eggs and all the stuff that they went to get, and they never came back. You know, the family members that are destroyed, the community's trust that is destroyed, everything is just destroyed over hatred. It's just terrible. You know, just terrible. Somebody actually videotaped the bodies laying in the parking lot next to their cars, and the trunk was open, where these people were putting groceries inside of their cars. You know, it's just senseless. It makes no sense. You know, we have to really begin to pay attention to our surroundings. And like the guy said, the day before, they just held a conversation. They were just having a regular conversation. He just graduated from high school, 18 years old. I don't know. I don't understand it. I do get it. I mean, I understand. You know, I understand. You know, this stuff is real. This hatred stuff is real. You know, we have got to be vigilant. We've got to pay attention. We have to teach our, we have to have conversations with our children that the people of the other nations don't necessarily have to have. We have to warn them against the police. You know, what to do if you get stopped by the police. We've got to tell our children to watch their surroundings and make sure there's no strange people wandering around. Pay attention to everything that goes on around you. It's just all kind of conversations that we have to have with our children to watch your communities and, you know, watch and black-on-black crime and crime against from the police. And then you got crimes against the hate groups and all this stuff. And all, it's just too much. It just gets to be a lot. You know, but we have to have these conversations. Because if you know, you can't afford to walk around in a bubble and think everything is just lovely. Because that's just not the reality. That's not the world that we live in anymore. It's never really been that way. But, you know, sometimes when we grow up in an all-black community, our schools are black, our teachers are black, you know, we may have a couple of teachers from the other nations, and, you know, and it's an environment that's tolerable. We tend to let our guard down But you really can't do that. You cannot afford to let your guard down. Because it's like an evil spirit has been unleashed. And you know it always gets hardest at the end, right before you get ready to leave. You know, and it's going to test the very essence of who we are as a people. But these are the conversations that we have to begin to have because it's just not safe. It's not safe. Area code 214, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I don't know that I have a whole lot to say, but I was listening to you, and I think that I differ from how you view this in that this is not just like a person. I see this as the system. This country was founded in violence. This country, this is just a reflection of the entire country. And one of the things I saw was they were saying he had a mental health check. Well, if that's the case, that means that this entire country has a mental illness, because what he did is reflective of the whole. This is really just a continuation of how this very country was started and how these things have been codified into law and how it has gone on. And I think what has happened is people try to make it an individual matter. But any time a person does not stand up against this, or any time a person is just a silent participant or benefits from it, they are a part of that system. And so I say that they are equally guilty, because this would not have continued if people hadn't, down through the years and generations, supported this same type of mindset. This is simply more evident because it has hit the news and because he drove 300 and some odd miles. But these people crossed oceans, went around the world, and did this to people, and then brought us here and systematically brutalized, raped, murdered, and have continued to do it to this very day. And then I'm reading through comments of some people saying, well, why didn't they mention something that happened in Chicago? So many people died. Well, no, you know what? People would not have even been here out of their land in captivity had it not been for the evil works that this country has perpetuated and continues to perpetuate. So this is not an anomaly. This is a reflection of the whole. And what has happened is that people have been able to distance themselves by saying, "No, we didn't participate in that. We're Christian, or we're godly, and we love everybody," until it comes to loving everybody, and then they don't. And so, but it's easy to kind of shield themselves. And so, I don't say that he's an anomaly. I don't say that he's mentally ill. I say that he literally is a reflection of what this country is. And in order for this country to be judged, their sins have to be exposed, and that's what's coming to the fore. It's becoming more and more difficult. And I heard someone say something very interesting last night. They said that he was talking about replacement. He felt like white people were being replaced. Well, this man made the point that as their numbers down, this violence will go up, because they feel, you know, when there were a lot of people, the quote-unquote white, and they felt that they had the majority, they didn't feel that they had to defend themselves. They could kind of cloak this stuff and shunt it away because they could oppress people without it coming to the fore. But now that they are feeling more exposed in terms of the economic downturn that we're seeing, in terms of the shortages that are being protected, in terms of this possible war that's going on, and then just the evil that has been done in the name of this country, as that comes to the fore and people are feeling more exposed and vulnerable, that this type of violence is going to raise its head, not because it's an anomaly, but because it has always been there. It has just been evil that's been cloaked with a veneer of supposed good. So,
I agree. I mean, you know, it is. I can agree with you with, you know, with some of it, you know, because we also know that, you know, we're here because the Most High put us here, and the evil that we're experiencing is because of our own disobedience. But it never takes away from the shock of it all, you know, because you, like I said, you wonder how a person can be that evil. How can you just walk and shoot? So I think you said five people were shot in the head, and the other people were shot. They didn't identify the other places, and stream it live.
Yes. And government documents were just revealed this yesterday, I think it was, or either Friday, where the American government said that they were going to systematically disenfranchise the quote-unquote Indians and make it so that they were impoverished and would lose their land. Systematic, deliberate. How could they do that? Oh, it's no different. How can you give people pox, you know, smallpox blankets? You know they're going to die. that everybody can say, no, we didn't do that. But you rush and you take their land. And then when they try to defend themselves, you kill them. Kill their children. I mean, this is, it's no different. I mean, it's simply no different. And then for us as a people, we come here and we have just been brutalized and murdered. We continue to be murdered. We continue to be incarcerated. And then people say, oh, they're pathological. No, you know what's happening is people are reacting to systematic torture that they have experienced as a people. And so,
yeah.
It's perfectly evident to me that when you look at studies will show you if you have overcrowding, you're going to have an increase in violence. If you have people who are stressed, you're going to have a certain type of behaviors. The fact is, you don't see us as a people doing this, and we have far more reason to do it than I would say other groups because we have been more disenfranchised and more brutalized. And yet you see people who are constantly engaging in this kind of behavior and people are turning a blind eye and say, oh, but that's not me. But yet the very thing that this person is fighting for is the thing that you're supporting through your actions. How can it not be you? They're just your front man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was even looking at, you know, the crowd and some of the people, some of the police officers and stuff that were in the crowd, and I was just wondering, I wonder how do some of them guys really feel about what's happening? You know what I'm saying? What's really going on inside of your heart, inside of your mind? Are you secretly happy about the fact of what happened? Are you, you know, they do not allow them to carry guns. They do not allow them to carry concealed weapons, you know, because you wonder, how in the world is this possible? How can a kid get away with it? Anybody? You know? But like I said, we have to have conversations with our children that most people don't have to have. You know? These are the things that you must pay attention to. You can never let your guard down. You can never think, and even though everybody doesn't feel like that, and everybody doesn't act like that, all it takes is one person to catch everybody else off guard. It's like the guy that walked up into the church and shot up all the black people. You know, I'm like, weren't you all paying attention? Wasn't that unusual for him to just walk up? Nobody had a gun. Nobody was able. You know, it comes to the point where you have to defend yourself. And because they felt like they were in the quote-unquote house of God, certain things was not going to happen. Well, it did. It did. And it was traumatizing. Because, again, they had a false sense of security, like everything is okay. And we can never, we can never let our guard down. We can't, because like you said, this has been festering for hundreds of years. You know, who taught the hate? Because a child is not born hating. You know, how do you have so much hate in your heart that you're 18 years old, senselessly with no emotions, no remorse, just walking through shooting people in the head like it's nothing?
Well, this is a thought that crossed my mind. It says that we as a people have been traumatized, that some of the things that we have experienced are passed along from generation to generation, not simply in terms of how we've learned to be in the world, but how it has been become a part of the DNA. If that's true of us, I would think it's true of other people as well, that when this kind of stuff has been done generation after generation, you have murder after murder, rape after rape, torturous behaviors. That cannot help but alter who you are as a people, as a group. And this country, that from its inception, that's what it's been. And that's what it has taken to maintain this country. You cannot think that the people are going to remain unchanged. So how can he have that? He may have been born with it. Just as some things have been passed down through us in terms of our genetics, that kind of thing I think can be passed down too. You can have a hardening of the spirit before it even comes. And then when you come into an environment that nurtures that type of thing, because it seems to me that it would be very difficult for you to actually parse out. You can love to a certain extent, but you have to maintain a certain part of you always on that negative, defensive, you know, type of, with that type of attitude. And so it seems to me that you have an element that of that probably in the household. So it's like the nurturing that's needed to offset it is probably not there. The types of things that are needed that might mute it are just not found in that environment or outside of it, because the environment itself is conducive to that type of development. And it becomes not only environmental, but it becomes genetic as well. That's what I would posit. Now, we'll see if there are studies that support that, but this is what I've heard said of us. If it's said of us, I can certainly see it being said of others. And the behaviors that we see emerging are bearing that out. And more than that, I look at the prophecies. You know, I'm looking at that. Time is winding up. We know we have an enemy. Satan is real. But he also has people that he works through. And the thing is we see their actions. This is like the last gasp of a dying nation, because the Most High says that the only way to cleanse the land is with the spilling of the blood of those who kill the innocent. His word doesn't come back void. He's not a liar. And so the question is, this is what we are starting to see. Now, my prayer for us is Israel, Father, please deliver us. Destroy our enemy. That is my prayer. Destroy, and Father, help me to hold my tongue so that I do not provide protection for them. I do not pray vengeance on them. The vengeance, I'll leave that to the Most High, but I do not want to stay his hand. Father, please protect us and let those prophecies fulfill themselves.
Yeah. Like I said, there's conversations that we really have to have. I mean, we have to have conversations with our young men and our young women, because there are people that truly hate you to the death. Now, do we have issues among ourselves in our own community? Absolutely we do. Is there killing of each other? Absolutely that there is. And that's in every nation. There's no nation where murder is and doesn't exist. Whereas ours is on the news, theirs is on Dateline or MSNBC. I mean, you know, or 48 Hours. It's all being, murder is money. Everybody watches it. Everybody wants to know what happened. Everybody wants to know who did it. You know, but this can't continue. You know, nowhere have I read in the scriptures, since I've been reading the Bible, of all of the nations that have ever existed, this is the nation that, in my opinion, is the one that has pushed the envelope to the edge. I mean, it's just, you know, they have done anything and everything that they have felt big enough to do. I mean, you know, it's just, it can't continue like this. It just can't. It can't. And y'all will not apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for the things that they've done, and all the other nations that were destroyed as a result of the things that they were doing. He can't apologize to them. He's not going to. And I don't understand how we can think that we're going to get away with this. I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't understand what everybody's mind is, to the point where they feel like, oh, it's okay for us to just go kill a couple of black people, or it's okay for even our community, even these young kids in the community, it's okay for me to kill my neighbor or my boy down the street. He just got to die. You don't think there's going to be repercussions? It's just a free-for-all. Anything, and that's why everybody's trying to come here. Everybody's trying to come to this place, because anything and everything goes. It does. It's like, do you realize that we're going to have to answer for the things that we have done in the flesh?
No, that is not what's been, that hasn't been exemplified. The way this country has operated, you do not have to pay for your sins. And if you do, they're doing like Hezekiah and saying, well, at least it won't happen in my generation while I'm alive.
Yeah, that's true. As long as I'm gone, I mean, you know, it's just incredible. They have pushed the Most High to the edge. I mean, to the point where hold on, let me get to Michael. You ought, they ought to really be scared. I mean, for real. Eric, call 347. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom. Yeah, I live in New York, and when I heard it, we were on the class yesterday, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, really? They're still pushing this? But it reminds me of something that my sister had sent me. That this happened, I think it might have happened yesterday or Friday, where they had, I forget, oh, where was it? It was on TMZ. I saw it. We saw it. But about a black couple, well, a black family, they were terrorized by this little white boy who came to their door with a whip. And he was banging on the door with a whip. And the father came out and was arguing back and forth. So long story short, what are they doing with whips? You know? I'm like, this is the mentality that they have. He came over with a whip. I'm like, and where does a young boy, you know, 9 years old or what I think he was, get all that hatred? It's there. It's there in their genetics, I think. It really is.
It has to be taught. No baby born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing the sister was saying, they don't think that they're going to pay for it. And this is the thing. People think that, okay, you're going to die and that's it. No big deal. They don't realize everybody was promised eternal life. Eternal life in the kingdom or eternal life in the lake of fire. And that's what they don't realize.
That's true. That's true. But let's go a step further. You might not even make it there. He might keep you alive long enough for you to see your children go through some stuff. You know, this is the dangerous part about Yah. You know, and that's what most people, if I'm dead, I ain't going to know nothing about you. Nobody's going to get away that easy. It's just not going to be that easy. You know, and it's just, they really are pushing this envelope to the edge. I mean, all the way to the edge. To do something like she said, they've been doing this for years. I mean, this is not a big deal. And like I said, I just looked around at all of the police officers that were there, all of the sheriffs that was there, and I just wondered. I said, I wonder how many of them are whispering under their breath, you know, saying to themselves, I think he did a good job. I know, you know, go ahead, you know, this. You just never know how people feel because that empathy is just not there. It's not. I mean, let me say this in all fairness. The people that did the interviews and all of the things that they were doing, everybody was outraged. They appeared to be outraged, from the mayor to the governor to the head of the sheriff department, the police department, the FBI people. Everybody was outraged, and I think that it became even more horrific when they found out this boy was 18 years old. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like they really seemed sincere that they were. It was a horrific act, you know, 18 years old.
The outrage is that they took him alive. You could get shot as a black person in your home with them, with their no-knock warrants and what have you. And this little boy, I mean, he lived. Not that I wished him dead, but we've been killed for less.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. It's Let me give you some more content. Here we go. Check this out.
A mass shooting with multiple casualties and several people injured. This is the worst nightmare that any community can face.
Tactical helmet on. He had a camera that he was live streaming what he was doing. The individual exited his car and engaged four individuals. He shot four people in the parking lot. Three of those were deceased. One individual at this time is surviving the injury. The individual went inside. As I said, he's an 18-year-old white male, walked into the store and began engaging customers inside the store. So as we said, a total of 13 people were shot today. 10 deceased at the scene, and 3 sustained non-life-threatening injuries. It appears to be non-life-threatening injuries at that point. Four in total were store employees. One of those was the security guard who was worked at that location for a very long time. Many officers on scene here knew him quite well.
It's just unfortunate. It is truly unfortunate. You know, but the hatred is real. You know, and nobody can get upset with us because of the way we feel because the hatred is real. The hatred is real. It is. You know, and that's why we tell the Israelites, and I need to speak to our people. You know, cut the shenanigans out. All this rah-rah, yeah, we're going to get them. Yeah, that is not the way to recruit or to encourage our young people to be able to come aboard this thing and realize who their identity is. Because I'm going to tell you something, just like they coming down on this and white supremacy and all this stuff, they setting the stage for everything else. They're setting the stage for everything else. It is the love of Yah that draws men unto repentance. The prophecies and all of the things that are going to happen as a result of what we've had to experience, nobody's going to be able to stop according to the scripture. His word is not going to come back void. But one thing that we don't do as Israelites, we don't do this kind of stuff. We just don't. You know, we have got to be proactive. We've got to go before the Most High because that is our greatest weapon. It's our prayer. And I know nobody wants to hear that, but that is the thing that is going to, when he hears those prayers go up, these are the things that are going to stop it. Because we are not going to engage in a race war. We're not. And we have to, and you know what, we get real tired of telling everybody to stand down, but you have to. And I heard one of the young guys say, bruh, it's dead bodies laying all over the place in the store, man. Some crazy stuff. He was like, it's dead bodies all over the floor in the grocery store, man. There's some crazy stuff. Well, guess what? It's no more crazy than dead bodies in our community that everybody's spraying bullets and acting like there's no repercussions. Oh, we got to stop all of it. You know, because this is not our fight. We got to stop. We really do. We got to stop. We got to get prepared to be able to go home. It's time for us to go home. And when the Most High gives that okay, and it's time for us to move out and go home, we going home. We are not fighting over this place no more. It's enough is enough. We've been fighting for dignity rights since we got here. And every generation that come in, every new generation, it's a group that's got some sort of hate. Everyone we've ever experienced from, somebody, babies are not born hating. Babies don't come in this earth hating. Somebody had to teach that hate. Somebody had to teach this young man how to hate like that. It's terrible. It is terrible for a young kid, 18. My grandson is 19. 18 years old. Hold on. Area code 314. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hello, lady. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Bianchi. How are you?
You say when we go home, where are you guys going? I mean, where are you group going?
You ask me that every time you call. We going back to the land of
Canaan. No, I don't ask you that every time.
We going back to the land of Canaan, like the Most High promised.
Up in the northeast corner?
We going back to the land
of Africa.
Canaan. We're going back to the land.
I tell you, okay, but You know what's going on over in Nigeria now.
That
they have
ethnic
cleansing.
That has nothing to do with us. We're going back to the land of Canaan. And that's all I can say. You know? We got to keep moving. We got to keep doing what we're supposed to do. We got to keep praying. We just got to keep doing it. We're not going to systematically stay here and be sitting ducks and just get shot down. You know, we got to stop. It's got to stop. Even our own kids. We got to stop this. This has got to stop. You know? It's ridiculous. I just have never, ever seen anything like this. It's just ridiculous. And guess what? It's been far worse things that have happened in my mom's age and my grandmother's age than this. You know, they had to walk past trees with their family members hanging on them. Crazy.
Numbers
absolutely
are furious
crazy
about this.
It's crazy. You know, and then we make headway. We think we have. All kind of laws have been passed. We think we've got there. And then we turn around and here we are again. It's incredible. You know? Here we go. Again. So. But we got to have a talk. We got to add. It's in a minute. We're going to have to really let them know, you know, you can enjoy yourself, but you also got to pay attention to your, you got to pay attention to everything. Because everything ain't for, it just ain't. It's just not. You know? It's not. It's there. So, you know, I just wanted to get that out there and to let everybody know, you know, this is a very terrible time for the country, period. It's so much stuff going on. It's so much stuff going on everywhere. There was a shooting in Milwaukee. There's shootings in Buffalo. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, there's people being terrorized. It's almost like it appears as though in some places they want us to go back into slavery. And you know, that's the energy that I'm sensing. It's like you don't have a right to talk. Once a slave, always a slave. You don't have a right to exist unless we say you can.
That actually made me laugh because that's exactly it. When the sister said, why did that kid come to the door with the whip? He was telling you exactly why. Why did this kid feel that he's losing what was promised to him, that position of dominance? Yes, because people feel that that's exactly what they're entitled to, and the only way that they can be entitled to it is if they have a people that can give them that dominance that they once had. It wasn't that they got it through their own doing. It's because they appropriated the power and the wealth and the energy of other people. That's the way that they did it, and that's what they don't want to see go away. But this is the brother, I suppose, that where are we going? Well, you have to think about the prophecy. The prophecy said that it's the Most High that is going to gather us and put us where we're supposed to be. I do not know exactly where it is, and I've been in Nigeria. I've lived in West Africa. My thing is I go where the Most High tells me to go, not where I've been. And so the thing is when I look at these prophecies and I look at what the Word says, the question is, do I believe? And I do believe. I believe with all of my heart that he is going to say, do what he says he's going to do. It's not for me to try and move his hand or guess what he's going to do. My job is to make sure that I listen and I obey and that I'm ready. And that's what he told me personally, be ready. And so when I look at all of these signs, he says, what will be the signs of my coming? When I look around and I see the signs, I say, Father, I think I am seeing the signs that you pointed out. Sometimes we have to look and wait, and just let things unfold. But more than that, I trust him. He is not a liar. When he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's going to do it in his time. And I know there are scriptures that speak of that. I was trying to find a scripture that says, when that last person has died, those that are destined for the sword, those that are destined for different types of destruction, but when that last measure of iniquity has been placed in that cup and it overflows, he moves forth. As the Son said, he says, I don't know the time, but the Father knows. And the Father is not bound by anything. We say he's not bound by time, space, circumstances. When he says it's done, it's time, it is time. And that's all we're supposed to do is watch, wait, obey, and then do what he says do.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and then you have these people, you know, that call in, that we've had this conversation. He and I have had this conversation many a times. And, you know, these people call in for whatever purpose, you know. But these are the main people that are staying close by so that they know what's going on. You know, and it's like, you know, those are the ones that will beat you when we get ready to go. They'll be sitting in your seat, okay? I'm just going to say that. You know, because everybody's just tired. It's just, it's enough. It's just enough hatred. But you know, we never get rid of the enemy. The enemy doesn't go anywhere. He's constantly there. And he's constantly fueling. And this is something, you know, that, you know, we can never let our guard down to think that it's okay. Because it's not. And you know, the Most High, I'm going to say this, the Most High allowed white supremacy. He allowed the privilege. He allowed them to be on top. He's allowed those things, you know, and he did for many years because we had to be on the bottom because this was a punishment for us. However, as the 400 years is over with, we've served our sentence. I remember somebody saying that he was upset because he felt like white people were underpopulated. That's not our fault. That has nothing to do with us. That he felt like that white people were being pushed out of America and that the people of color were taking over. Believe me when I tell you we don't want to stay here. This is not a desire that we have. We are here because we were put here. We are here because he allowed this to happen to us because we were disobedient. All we're trying to do is live a normal life until it's time for us to exit out of here because that is what the scripture says. You know, nobody, I mean, I don't understand where all these ideas are coming from, like, we want this place. I don't understand that. You know, if anything, every person in this country ought to be on their knees begging for forgiveness. Because this place has gone to the point where the morality is gone. It's anything and everything go. This can't continue like this. Everybody's delusional thinking. Everywhere you look, from the television programs to the commercials to the music to everything, it's do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it. And as long as you don't step on my feet, I don't care what you do to the next man or what you do to yourself. Just do it and be happy doing it. And every nation, every civilization that I have read about in the book, when they got to that point, they were destroyed. It's like you said yesterday, when you looked at those nations that were over in those European countries, you said something very profound yesterday. You said those people have held on to their culture. They've held on to their traditions. They've held on to their ways. They've not been Americanized. It's like a cancer. It's running rampant through this place. And for anybody to think that this will continue like this, you can already see the seams of it is busting at the edge. This can't continue. There's no moral code. Anything you want to do, do it. Everybody ought to be scared. They're talking about the church and how that's a joke. They shooting each other in church. They fighting in church. They lying. They molesting in church. They raping in church. In church, with the place where they're supposed to be God is, where whatever God they serve is in there. In church. Yet it's just a mess. It's like the Most High took and pulled the wool off of all of his head. Just look at it. And you know what this pastor's wife told me a long time ago? She gave me a scenario. She said it's like a birthday cake. She said it's beautiful on the outside. She said the flowers is different colors. She said, and it's just got, you know, the icing is beautiful and white. And it's just got flowers all around the base of it. And you get to it, and it just looks scrumptiously delicious to eat. She said, but when you open it up, it's nothing but rats crawling on top of each other. Rats all over the place. Just filth. It's just gone to a whole nother level. It is. And you know what it is? Even the people that don't want it like this can't fix it because it's too far gone. And that's all of us, black, white, Latino, whatever. We can't. It's too far gone. And as outraged as they are, and believe me when I tell you they do appear to be outraged, it can't be fixed. It's too far gone. It's too far gone. You just, it's nothing you can do about it. You know, and all we have at this point is the Most High. We're going to have to lean on him and have the conversation with our children and with our children's children. Pay attention. Don't let your guard down. And don't do it because you can't do it. I don't care how beautiful the sun is shining and how beautiful things seem like they are. It's still dangerous. It's too dangerous. And it seems like each time we get a generation that is older or growing up and they're living, even in my grandchildren's generation, because that's how old he was, 18 years old, that hate is still festering. It's still there. No, it's nothing. It's too far gone. You know, and like you said, our prayer is to please deliver us. Please deliver us from this place. We have learned our lesson. We know we have disobeyed you, and we treated you in a way that we had no business doing because you warned us over and over again not to get involved in the other nations and not to go after serving their gods and not to do the things that they did. And we did it anyway over and over and over again to the point where you had no choice. You have to teach us a lesson. And it has been a well-learned lesson. We understand now why you said, thou shalt not. Don't engage in. Don't do. Don't do as they do. I don't want you doing these things. We understand now why, because we're living in a nation where we're watching these very things be done, and it's just out of control. And we've seen it. It's just getting to the point. It's just a lot. We understand now. We get it. We do. We get it. And we just want to be delivered. We want you to deliver us from this. This place is not going to change. It is just not going to change. It's just not. The hatred is never going to change. It's going to always be around. It's just always going to be there. And we need to be delivered. We just need to be delivered. We really do. I'm telling you, this is just a lot. Woo! It's you know, when you look at the word of Yah and you understand the story now and you understand what we did and how far we went and what he had to do to get our attention, he did a good job at getting our attention. He really did. When he pulled the wool over our eyes and let us really see what this thing was really all about, he did a good job in getting our attention. He really did. Because you know what? With all of the partying and all of the drinking and all of the sexing and all of the drugs and all of the stuff and all of the immorality and all of the money and all of the power and all of the stuff, you just look and say, enough. There's no peace. There's no peace. It's just none. It's no peace. It's not, and nobody can give it to you. There's nobody that can fix this part. There's no peace. Because where all this stuff is, there's just no peace. And only he can be the one to give it to us. He's the only one that can give us that back. and it's not attractive anymore. It's not. You just look like, my God, stop. Just stop. You know, we just chase and chase. It's like Lavia said one day, it's like being on a hamster wheel. It's just you just running around in a circle. It's like you just want to say, get off the wheel. Just stop. It's always something new. It's always new technology. It's always an upgrade. It's just constantly moving into nothingness. We are so sorry. I remember we had this conversation 15 years ago. If I could apologize for the whole nation, we are so sorry. We have embarrassed you in front of all the other nations, all the things that you have done for us, all of the ways that you made for us as being your people. We embarrassed you. We kicked you in the teeth. We made your name look bad among the other nations, among the gentiles. We are so sorry. We apologize for the things that we have done. Because this is enough. Whew. Please have mercy on us. Please have mercy on us and deliver us from this place. Deliver us from this place. They passed all kind of laws, and we thank you for being a small sanctuary. We do. We thank you for making it a little tolerable, but there's no place like home. We want to be wherever you are, because this is not it. And we bought the cars, and we went to college, and we got the jobs. And we wore the clothes, and we carried the purses, and we dressed up, and we smelled good, and we had it enough. We just want to say we're sorry. We're just sorry. We really are. We are sorry for the things that we have done that has gotten us in this mess right here. It is truly time to repent. As a nation, we got to. Because we got to get out of here. We can't rush it. I know there's an appointed time. I know you said that there's an appointed time for us when it's time for us to leave. And that we, Genesis 15, 13, and 14, said that we was going to see the judgment of this nation. Whew. You know, I know that. But our heartfelt we are sorry. We really are. We are so sorry. We apologize for it all. All of it. All of it. You know, and then you wonder when we go home, like we were saying the other day, everybody's hell bent on Christmas and Thanksgiving and Halloween. We ain't even going to know nothing about that stuff. That stuff will be over with. We won't even engage in any of that anymore. It won't even be an issue. No, we just want to be where you are. This is a lot. It is a lot. It is just a lot. We are so sorry. We so apologize for it all. We do. We really do. And we thank you. We thank you for, you know, all that you have done for us since we've been here. We do. We thank you for the punishment. Because if we hadn't seen this, we would never know what we'll never do this again. If we hadn't experienced this as a nation, we would never know that this living like this is not the way we supposed to live. It's not. We had to go through it in order to see it. We had to experience it in order to know. This ain't it.
I think there's a deception that's going on right now, and part of it is we were talking about we've had the cars, we've had the this, we've had the that, but that's not what we're supposed to aspire to. The things that says only the things that we do for others, it says for Christ, but I'm sure we can find parallels in the Old Testament. Those things that we do that are in accordance with what the Most High says, those are the things that are going to last. And I was talking with my cousin, and we were talking about crowns and rewards, because she's a caretaker for my aunt and my uncle, and she actually has physical ailments herself. She has sacrificed a lot, but she says she's trying to earn her coin. She says she doesn't want anybody else's coin. She wants her own. But I said, you know, the thing is, we all want crowns and rewards. We are supposed to do for others. And because we are in a materialistic, individualistic, selfish type of society, we are encouraged to do those things that harm others. And that is gaining us nothing. The only thing that we carry out with us, it says the good, our good works will follow us. That's what we know. So the thing that we're supposed to be doing, we're not doing because of this culture. As the sister says, it's demonic. It is set up to prevent us from obeying the Most High. We are supposed to be able to do for our brother and our sister, and amass coins, amass crowns. So that's the currency of the kingdom. We are actually selling ourselves short because we're trying to get stuff here that decays and rusts and is destroyed instead of getting something that's eternal, that is going to follow us. It's going to help us here in terms of developing our character and helping other people that are around us, improving our whole environment, and then will follow us afterwards because it's our crown. It's our currency of the kingdom. That's how we get our crowns and our rewards. And so I see it as being really deceptive because it's making us do the very thing that we're not supposed to be doing and not do the thing that we were told to do.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Hold on 1 minute. Hold on. Area code 330, your mic is on the air. Open, you're on the air. 330. We can't hear you. You must be on mute. Okay, I guess they pushed it by accident. But, yeah, you know, that it is. You know, but we're trained to aspire to certain things. In order to have a decent lifestyle, we're told, you know, that these are the things you have to do. You have to go to school. You have to get a degree. You have to be able to do something. If you're smart enough and you're intuitive enough, you can start your own company. But these are the things to attain the American dream. You know, and we have done those things. That's all I'm saying, is that we have already gotten those things. We've done those things. You know, and it would be nice if you could have those things and live in a society where there is at least some condemnation. It's just everybody gets angry, but there's no condemnation. It's like everybody said, well, you know, yeah, we was mad yesterday, but we got to move on, and it just continues. It just keeps going on and on and on. You know, you wonder how bad does it get.
They're not dealing with sin. You know, if people were mad about the sin, then the behavior would stop. They don't want the consequences, but they want to continue with the behavior. Hold on to your hate. Hold on to your nastiness. Hold on to your greed. Hold on to your immorality. We don't want the consequences. But, well, we're mad about the consequences, but we want to hold on to the sin. And, you know, I was thinking, I think it was Solomon who says, he says this is what, it was either Solomon or David, I can't remember if it was in Psalms or Proverbs, but he said that his prayer for Israel was that they not have too much and that they not have too little, but that they have what they needed. If everybody had what they needed, this would be a far different society. If that was the aspiration, that all of our needs were met and that our brother was doing well and we were doing well, we wouldn't have this contentiousness, people murdering. I just read about this poor child who was killed because somebody wanted his shoes.
Yeah.
That just happened this past week. It's crazy. Somebody else, I think, was killed for $20. People have been killed for a dime because these principles are not put in place. Because people are saying, we want to continue with our sin. We want, but we don't want the consequences with that want. And we were told, we are supposed to live at peace with all others. We're not supposed to have this insatiable greed that's not met or desire. Because it's imbalanced. We're supposed to be a balanced people. Not too much, not too little. You have a place to lay your head. You have time to enjoy the sun and the moon and the people that are around you, the breeze that goes over your body. Not stuck up somewhere trying to gain stuff, sacrificing your health, sacrificing time which you can't get back, hurting everybody with pain that you cannot undo.
something. It's just the antithesis of what the Most High told us, and it's all about sin.
Yeah, at the
not keeping
the
commandments.
Yeah, it is. That is so true. Ooh, we got so much to look forward to, you know, and that's what you have to, that's the thing that has to encourage you. That's the thing that has to give you the hope. That in spite of the way it looks, and in spite of what we're living in, and that we've been set down in, we still have something to look forward to, you know. And like I said, believe you me. Now, I don't know how the other African-American people think that are not conscious of who they are. I don't really understand. I don't want to even get into that because whatever they're after. But believe you when we tell you this ain't where we want to be. This isn't where this stops for us. If we could, if the Most High said tomorrow, we'd be gone tomorrow. Not when the government says it, or when the angry person says, well, get out then. You have no control over that, just like you didn't have any control over us coming. But when he said it's time to go, believe me, we will be out of here. You guys can have all of this. We don't want to fight over this place. And then the same question comes up when we say this kind of stuff. The same question comes up as the gentleman asked, well, where are you going? What difference does it make? It doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. It really doesn't matter, but there are so many places. We have oceans that are far vaster than the land mass that we have. The Most High can raise up land masses. There are land masses that probably are in existence that we have no knowledge of. He can take us off planets. He can do anything. That's the thing. And
yeah,
it's so marvelous because whatever he's going to do is going to be far more than we can even envision. It's going to be unbelievable. So I look forward to that. So I'm thinking, I'm not concerned about that. I'm not concerned about where he's taking me because I know good and well. Spoke this world into existence. Oh, and he says he went to prepare a place, which means he's going to put more effort into it. Please, I know good and well wherever we're going is going to be fine. And so,
yep, hallelujah. I have not seen, ears have not heard. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Well, my thing is, they hate the fact that we're here. We're causing the problem. Let them tell it. We're overpopulating, and we're outpopulating them. So they say. But if we say we're leaving, what difference do it make to you where we're going? As long as we're not here, because this is what this is about. Everybody wants to keep it like it was. It's got to stay. We got to stay on top. You will be once we're gone.
Oh, and we want to be gone because this land has to be purged.
You know?
This land has to be purged. It's like, I don't want to be here when that purging happens. Now, it says we'll see the destruction of those who took us into captivity. And I'm thinking, we'll have some proximity to them. There'll be some way where we'll be viewing it, hopefully from afar. But right now, we're still in that Genesis 15 because he said we would see the destruction and then after. So I'm hoping that after really will mean that we are out of here before the real purging of this land starts taking place, but we'll see the judgment. We're already seeing the judgment. We're seeing the demise of this country. We're seeing all the resources being sent out. We're seeing a country that is rendering itself defenseless. And yet we know that this country has all kinds of enemies. And they've articulated their desire to destroy this place. And yet, I just say, Father, please open my eyes, as was said, let me have my little bags packed, figuratively and literally. And be ready to book.
Yeah. I mean, you know, now, you know, it's like, now all of a sudden this young man is pure evil. He had to get that from somewhere. That boy was not born hating. Somebody taught him that. I'm sorry. Nobody going to tell me that boy just came up hating on his own. Somebody taught him that. They taught him that. And that's why we tell our Israelite brothers, you know, there's nothing wrong with gathering the Israelite men to be together to do whatever they do. But you have to be smart. I mean, for real. Because that's everybody. We're not engaging in a war. That's just not going to happen. Now, all of a sudden, he got a hate-filled soul. Somebody taught him that. Children learn what they live.
He's a reflection of this society from its inception. The very laws that put this place, I was listening to, I think it was this lady, the Gates of Hope, she was talking about, I think it was 1710 or something like that, the very laws that were instituted at the beginning of this country, the very first ones, were all about our enslavement, that we could not even advocate for our own freedom. This has never been a land of opportunity, a land of freedom. All of the things that have been held out, it's been based on a lie. And then when you read about the lives of the people who supposedly the founding fathers and the other people who were supposedly so holy, they were so immoral and so unholy and so hate-filled. This is the basis. It's really analogous to that parable, if you build your house on a sand, it's not going to stand. This is not built on a rock. This has been built on sand, and it's been built on our backs. And our backs, they've tried to break them, but the Most High says, you know, I'll provide that little haven for you. But he says, it's time for them to get off your back. This baby's going down. Anyway.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate.
And hopefully we can stand aside.
Yeah, it's ugly. You know? It's just like, again, you know, like I said, we've come a long way. We've been waiting. We've been gathering. We've been, you know, we have been doing the things that we needed to do in order to understand who we are, understand our Elohim, understand our culture, and just to be all that he has gave us the ability to be. And then at the same time, you know, we just have to wait on him. But it is very difficult to watch the hatred, because this stuff is real. It's just real. You know, you thought that this generation would be a little bit different because they're a little bit more eased up and you know, they're a little bit more laid back. But it's still subtle. You know, and when you do something like this to the point where you just walking through shooting people dead like a video game, that's serious business. That's some serious stuff. That is serious. Human beings. You're just shooting them down like you're in target practice. Real people. You know? It's a lot. It really is. It really is a lot. It's something to see, you know, but at the same time, like I said, we have to be in the world, but not of it. You know, it's very difficult because, like I said, when you know what's awaiting you on the other side, you know, and it seems like it's a simple way of life. Whatever he has in store, it's a simple way of life. Whatever's awaiting you on the other side, or however it is, he's going to set this thing up for us to have a way of escape, and for us to go to a place of safety, to get out of the way of all of this stuff. You know, it whatever a way of life he has set up for us, it's got to be better than this. You know, it's just got to be better, and morally wise, it's got to be. I can't imagine all this with us. All these thoughts and all these plans, something has to happen to our mind once he delivers us from this place that we don't bring this stuff with us.
He said he would cleanse us. But, you know, just to have peace of mind, just to be able to lie down at night and not have to lock your doors and worry about somebody coming through a window, worry about somebody, you know, just doing any number of things. I just read about all kinds of crazy things, and I live in a supposedly safe area, and people are just doing all kinds of stuff. You know, people that supposedly wouldn't do it before, but they're walking up to doors, trying to get in, they're sneaking into garages at 3 in the morning, all kinds of stuff, all caught on people's Ring cameras, right? So they have the means to do all of this stuff, the means to try to protect themselves, and yet they aren't protected and don't feel safe. And so, but I can imagine a much more peaceful place where you can just sit and be at ease. You don't have to worry about any type of crime. I've lived in an environment like that. I lived in an environment like that here in the States. It's no longer like that where I used to live. And I lived in an environment like that in West Africa. I mean, peace. Just being able to sit and be in the moment, enjoy the people that you're around, not fear for anybody coming and doing anything to you. It's a wonderful way of living. It's a very peaceful and enjoyable way of living. Everything doesn't have to be perfect, But because of the imperfection, you can actually appreciate those moments where you just find that little element of bliss. But here it's constantly you have to have your head on a swivel. So now every time I go out, I'm looking at people. I have left stores because people have made me feel very unsafe.
I'm thinking,
I've got to go. And supposedly safe areas. I'm thinking, no, sir. No, sir. I'm looking at you with your trench coat and your hat. I'm thinking, what's under that trench coat? I said, I must leave.
You better pay attention. You better watch the everywhere on. If you go on public transportation, watch the people coming in with book bags and bags. And if they walk off and leave it, you better be paying attention. You can't let your guard down. You know, just like we reading about the baby formula, do you know how many people have told me, oh, America's running out of baby formula? And the first thing I'm like is, how? We'll never run out of baby formula. We'll never run out of baby milk. Every woman, whether she is a being or an animal, every female, whether she is a human being or an animal female, has milk. We come equipped with milk. So stop all that nonsense about we running out of baby formula. Use the breasts for what the breasts are for. Quit being so vain and use the breasts for the milk. And you'll be just fine. So many people are like, we running out of baby formula. I just was like, stop. Don't call me no more about that kind of stupid stuff. Because I'm immediately going back to the motel like, we running out of baby formula. What? We come equipped with milk. It's just insane. They have taken our minds to the point where we don't even think anymore. I'm like, and the babies are not going to starve. You pull that breast out and feed your child like you're supposed to. But they ain't going to starve. It's unreal. All they have to do is put something on the news and everybody runs with it. And so many people done text me. I said, we'll never be without baby milk. We come with milk. We come equipped. We don't never have to buy Similac off the rack. We don't never have to buy those milky medicine stuff that our babies are drinking. We don't never have to do that. We already come equipped. And we don't even think anymore in terms of the Most High. It's whatever these people say. If they say the moon's going to be green tonight, everybody will go panicking. Oh, my God, the moon is green. Like, snap out of it. It's like, really? So, you know, we like I said, go back to the beginning. Let's everybody take a deep breath. Step back, take a deep breath, and start thinking. And think first of the Most High, who created all of this. He made all this. He created male and female. When he did it, it was complete. We have our own immune system. We have our own milk. We have our own eggs. The men have their seed. I mean, it's already done. It's finished. So when man goes back and try to redo something that's already done, it's always a problem. We'll be just fine. The babies are going to be just fine. Stop eating seaweed and drinking flavored water and start eating healthy so that your milk will get the nutrients that you need it to get. Go get vitamins if you need to so that there's plenty of your body will be able to produce what it needs to produce. And if you have a baby, your milk will come in. ABC 1, 2, 3. It ain't hard. Just ridiculous. You know, they have a program on, I forgot what channel it's on, but it's called Mamas. And they were showing you the animal kingdom. And I was watching how all the female animals, from the lion to the tiger to the elephant to the, every female animal has pouches where her babies, when they're born, drinks from their mama. But again, in this society, oh no, if you 55, your breasts gotta look like they was when you were 16. So you putting all kind of stuff in it to plump it up and make sure it looked like you looked when you were 16. And then the ones since in their baby years, they don't want nobody touching them because they, well, man, it's ridiculous. I mean, I just, I ain't even like, it's crazy. So, like I said, we'll never run out of baby milk. It comes in our bodies. It's produced in our natural bodies. I just wanted to make sure I put that on fire. Again, if you guys want to donate to for the funeral, I'm going to wait until Tuesday and zail that money to her. You guys have been giving it. Thank you so much. Our PayPal email is nationofyehuda@yahoo.com. If you want to give a couple dollars for funeral, for flowers for the funeral, we would greatly appreciate it, or however they want us to do it. I've already sent the card off, so the card's on its way. You know, we had one of our Hebrew Israelite brothers who passed away of a heart attack all of a sudden. And we want to send something from the Nation of Yehuda. So if you'd like to give a few dollars, $5, $10, whatever you can afford, please do so. You can send it to our PayPal PayPal address is nationofyehuda@yahoo.com. And then we're going to get it all together, and I'm going to zail it to the family so they can do whatever, however they want to use it. So let me get Brother Uriah on so he can tell us about the new moon ceremony today. Brother Uriah, you want to let them know about the new moon ceremony and what time and everything?
Yes, on the new moon this evening at about 8:15. That's when the sun goes down here. At least that's where I'm at. And we have a new moon celebration for this evening, and there'll be no buying and selling for the next 24 hours afterwards. That's it.
All right. Thank you so much. Get you guys tonight, 8:15. We're going to be calling in on the conference call that we call in for the class. We're going to meet at 8:15. Once we blow the shofar and we initiate the new moon ceremony, there's no buying or selling for 24 hours. So please make sure you go to the store if you need to get anything before tonight at 8. And we'll see you on the call on the regular scheduled program that we have on Saturday. We're only going to be on there for a minute, so please try to be on time. We'll probably wait until maybe 8:19 or something like that, but please try to be on time. And then we're going to go ahead and initiate the new moon ceremony, and this means our new month. So, you know, like I said to everybody, thank you so much for listening to us. You know, most of all, we hope that the Most High will accept our apology and the things that we've done so we can move forward and do what we need to do and be the people that He has called us to be. Area code 214, what would you like to say to everyone before we leave?
I just say I love the Most High. All praises to the Most High, and I'm waiting for Him to deliver us. His word does not come back void.
All right, area code 347.
Shalom. Just keep in prayer. Lift up the Buffalo family in prayer also.
All right, all right. That's right. Don't forget everyone in Buffalo, New York, the tragedy that's gone forth. We're just going to have to continue to hold on to Yah. Hold on to His word, because His word won't come back void. If He said He's coming, He's coming. Be faithful, be diligent, and be obedient, and all things will work out well. Shalom, shalom, everyone. We'll see you tonight at 8:15. Shalom, everybody.